The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July issue of Scout Life. And we're going to begin today with a great story, page 20 through 22, Wild Horses. Eric and Anna know they have what it takes to train and sell the wild horse, but should they? Here he comes, Eric said to his sister. Anna's eyes weren't on the arena, but looking down at the booklet detailing the pedigrees of the horses being auctioned today. You know, I want a filly, said Anna. Just look, okay? Anna put down the booklet to watch the shaggy golden pony as he was led around the arena. He's a beauty, she admitted. He's the one, said Brother. Not unless I say so, too, Anna said. We both have to agree, remember? I remember, Eric muttered, still watching the spunky little pony, which before today had never been touched by human hands. It was early on July morning, and Eric and Anna were at the annual pony penning in Chicontigue, an island off the coast of Virginia. The tradition had started in 1925, but the horses themselves, a group of wild ponies that lived on the nearby island of Ossetigue, went way back further. Legend had it that they were descended from a group of Spanish ponies on their way to the mines in Peru. A storm blew the ship into a reef, cracking open the hull. Despite the waves and wind, the ponies thrashed their way to the beaches of Ossetigue. The island was uninhabited, so the ponies learned to live in the wild. Some people thought this was just a story, and that the ponies had escaped from early colonists. But whatever their origin, the ponies had been running free for hundreds of years. When they were little, Eric and Anna loved to watch the horses being herded across the channel. Once ashore, the ponies snorted and shook the water from their bodies. Next came the parade, with scores of still wet ponies clomping down Main Street. But exciting as all that was, the twins had skipped it this year and were here just for the auction. The golden pony was led away, and several other horses had their turn in the arena. Eric didn't think any of them compared to the golden one until he saw her, the filly that made Anna gasp. Her creamy coat was dappled with dark spots, and her mane and tail were the color of hot chocolate. As she pranced around the ring, Eric could almost feel her joyful spirit. I want her, Anna said. She's the one. Eric looked again at the filly, and it seemed that her black, shining eyes were staring straight into his. You're right, he said. Immediately, Anna started bidding. At first, there were two other bidders, but one dropped out, and soon the other did, too. After the auction ended, they met their mom, who had come with a horse trailer to get the filly home. She looked feisty, Mom said. Do you really think you can train her? I know we can, said Eric. That's why we bought her, Anna added, to train her, and then sell her. I know, Mom said, and your father and I are just so grateful that you want to help. Just as they were leaving, Eric nudged Anna. Look, those are the buybacks. Buybacks were the ponies that had been bought and returned to the wild to replenish the herd. Anna just shook her head. What a waste, she said. Besides, we need the money too badly to ever do that. Eric and Anna had horses in their blood. Their dad trained racehorses, and their mom ran a small riding academy. But several months ago, Dad had been thrown and he was still in rehab. The whole family was feeling the pinch. So Eric and Anna had decided to pool the money they'd earned from their after-school and summer jobs to buy one of the wild horses. They were confident they could train and resell it for a profit. Lots of people were eager to own one of the fabled ponies of Ossetigue. The next day, Eric and Anna rose early and got to work training the filly, whom they called Diamond, for the shape of the marking on her forehead. At first, Diamond balked at the bridle, the bit, the saddle, and the stirrups, but they found that she loved carrots apples, and most of all, the slightly stale peppermint balls left over from Christmas. Soon Diamond was able to tolerate being tacked up, and then there was the memorable day that she let Anna ride her all the way around the ring at their mom's academy. Eric had groomed her, and her dappled coat was smooth and shiny. "Someone's going to snap her right up," Anna said as she dismounted. "We can sell her for $2,000 or maybe even more." Eric said nothing. His sister was right. Selling Diamond was the whole reason they had bought her. And yet, he thought of the buybacks he'd seen after the auction, and for a second he wished that Diamond could be among them. But that was ridiculous. The training continued well into the fall. Dad had come home and was still using a cane, so he couldn't work. Then Mom found a possible buyer for Diamond, Ms. Wyckoff from the academy. On a gray November day, Mom invited her over to watch Diamond in the ring. Diamond went through her paces, walk, trot, canter, gallop. Ms. Wyckoff was impressed. "You never know, she'd been born wild," she said, admiringly. Mom and Anna smiled, but Eric felt sick. Diamond had been born wild. That was part of her essence, and they had taken it from her. Finally, Mrs. Wyckoff left, and Mom went inside. Anna was still talking about the price. Mom thought they could ask $2,000, but Anna thought they could start at $2,200. "What do you think?" she asked Eric. "I think we should take her back to Assateague, where she belongs." "Seriously? I know we tamed her and trained her, but maybe we ruined her, too." He stroked Diamond's spotted muzzle, and she looked at him with her bright black eyes. Then Eric went upstairs to his room, where he stayed all night. In the morning, he was half asleep when Anna came in and sat on the foot of his bed. "I've been thinking," she said. "I talked to Mom, and she agrees. What I mean is, you're right. Diamond shouldn't belong to Mrs. Wyckoff, or to us, or to anyone else. She should belong to herself. So the only thing to do is..." "I know what to do," Eric said. He sat up, looped his arm around his sister's shoulder. "I'm just glad you do, too." In his mind's eye, he could see Diamond running wild, proud and free. Scouting around, showing reverence. Living the scout oath and scout law means having high standards. Scouts should keep their bodies and minds fit. Keep your character clean by monitoring what you view and read. Surround yourself with positive people who support you while holding you accountable. Show kindness to others, including those who have different beliefs than you. Wonders all around us remind us of our faith in God, and we show our reverence by living our lives according to the ideals of our beliefs. You will encounter people expressing their reverence in many ways. It is your duty to respect and defend their rights to their religious beliefs. Who you are is built on the values of your family, friends, religious group, and community. You can make ethical decisions even when problems are difficult or if you must stand alone. There might be times when peer pressure could tempt you to bend the rules, but you know you shouldn't because that's not the way you want to live. Despite what others might think, make good choices and strengthen your moral fitness as you continue toward the larger goal of always being an ethical person. Feel-good facts. Drink up. In hot weather, refresh your water containers at every opportunity. Drink your fill and then top off your containers. Don't ration water. If you are thirsty, you need to drink. During strenuous activities in hot weather, your body might require 2 or more gallons of fluid per day. A good way to tell if you are staying adequately hydrated is to drink often enough for your urine to remain clear. If you're planning a hot weather journey, consider reliable water sources on your trip. A gallon of water weighs about 8 pounds, and you can carry only so much. Plan your route so you can refill your water containers. Check with land managers who can provide information on the conditions, help you gain permissions you might need, and share guidelines on the best ways to use leave-no-trace principles as you travel and camp. Once in the field, travel early in the morning and in the evening rather than under the heat of the midday sun. A grand time, old time at the summit. In the lush hills of West Virginia, thousands of scouts gathered for a week and a half of adventure, fellowship, and service. Last summer's 20th National Jamboree drew a crowd from across the country to camp and play at the Summit Bechtel Reserve. Scouts went mountain biking, whitewater rafting, zip lining, rock climbing, and skateboarding. They earned merit badges, enjoyed lakeside extravaganzas, and heard from inspirational speakers, including CEOs, military commanders, and national scouting leaders. They also completed a massive service project of assembling 5,000 buckets to be used in future flooding emergencies. Each bucket contained items that can help flood victims as they begin restoring their property. Attendees left with great memories, patches they traded for, and new friends. You can make plans to attend the next National Jamboree, which will be held July 22nd through 31st, 2026 at the Summit. go.scoutlife.org/jamboree. Underwater communication. When you scuba diving, you obviously can't talk to others underwater. That's why it's important to know hand signals so you can communicate. They're helpful both above and below the surface. Here are a few that you will learn as part of a scuba BSA experience. Stop. Hand up. Palm facing the person you're communicating with. Okay. Make the letter O with your thumb and index finger. If you're wearing a glove, use your four fingers to make an O by touching them to your thumb. This is not interchangeable with a thumbs up. Go up. Make a thumbs up and motion upward. Go down. Make a thumbs down. Level off at this depth. Place your hand flat with your palm down and move your hand side to side. Buddy up. Form fist. Extend your index finger and hold those fingers side by side. Go that way. Make a thumbs up and gesture with your thumb pointing in the direction of travel. This can also be communicated by holding your hand flat with your palm facing the side with all five fingers pointing in the specific direction. Low on air. Place a closed fist against your chest. Out of air, make a cutting motion across your neck. Share air, make a flat hand and motion back and forth between your mouth and your buddy's mouth. Citizenship. Do you know the Constitution? In 1787, America's founding fathers penned a document outlining how our new country's government should operate. The United States Constitution aimed to balance the government's power without infringing on an individual's fundamental rights. How well do you know the supreme law of our land? Take the quiz below. What are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution called? How many times has the Constitution been amended since it was ratified? The first sentence of the Constitution, which states the reason for its creation, is called what? The Constitution wasn't our nation's first Constitution. What was the first one called? How many of the 13 states needed to approve the Constitution to ratify it? See online versions of Scouts BSA program features for troops and crews at go.scoutlife.org/program features. Scouts whose troops choose the suggested program theme for June, Scout scuba diving, and July citizenship can learn more in the swimming scuba diving, citizenship in the community, citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the world, and citizenship in society merit badge pamphlets, as well as in the scuba BSA program documents. Weather. Four dangerous weather-related conditions. Some ideas for your next merit badge adventure. Thunderstorms. There is no safe place outside during a thunderstorm. If you can't get into a safe building or vehicle, stay away from open areas and avoid lightning targets such as trees, power poles, and wire fences. Stay 100 feet or more away from the nearest person. Winter storms. When winds reach 35 miles per hour and there's enough snow to reduce visibility to nearly zero, you've got yourself a blizzard. If you're caught outside, stay dry, cover all exposed parts of your body, and look for shelter. Floods. Heavy rain combined with melting snows can cause rivers and streams to rise much higher than their normal levels. Pay attention to weather forecasts and never camp near stream beds during the time of year when rain is common. If floodwaters are rising, get to higher ground. Hurricane warnings. Yeah, I think we're going to have to cancel our plan for this weekend. Hurricanes. Originating in the Mid-Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean Sea, the Gulf of Mexico, or the Eastern Pacific Ocean off the coast of Mexico, hurricanes are among the most dangerous storms that affect the United States. Hurricane watches and warnings are almost always issued before a hurricane hits land. Watch the weather and heed the advice of officials. Indian lore, where the buffalo roam. For the Great Plains Indians, the bison was like a general store on hooves. Bison meat was the staple food of the Plains tribes. They ate the liver and kidneys raw. They roasted the intestines. They even ate the tongue. The skin was used as clothing, blankets, teepee, covers, and curtains. Parts of the hide would become drums and battle shields. Bison hair could be woven into rope, used as insulation in gloves, boots, or pillows, or rolled tightly into a ball used for games. Bones were used for things like tools and sleds. The stomach could be used as a cooking pot. Nuclear science. Radiation for health and safety. Radiation in medicine. Almost every hospital in the United States has a radiology department for medical diagnosis or treatment. X-rays are used to take pictures of bones and internal organs. Radiation therapy is high-energy radiation used to treat cancer. Radiation in industry. Radiation is used to sterilize products such as baby powder, bandages, and contact lenses solutions. X-rays can be used to check the strength of a weld. Some smoke detectors use a radioisotope to create a stream of alpha particles, which in turn ionize smoke particles, sounding the alarm. Radiation in agriculture. Radioisotopes can kill pests that destroy crops. Nuclear technology can detect pollutants, pesticides, or fertilizers in plants to make sure those materials aren't overused. Treating foods with ionized radiation kills harmful bacteria and parasites. Now, how about a few comics? Let's start with Lion Pride, making a splash. Oh, no! I think I'm lost at sea. A scout is brave. I need to be brave. How deep is this water? Oh, what if there are sharks? How do I get out of here? Rex, you just stand up. He's in a little pool of water. Come on, Rex. Tiger's Adventures. Hey, where did all our food go? Tiger and Iggy said they were going to make a well-balanced meal. And all the things. Oh, orange juice, crackers, milk, watermelons. Looks tasty. But they're trying to balance it. Good try. Dink, Duff, and Desi. I'm looking for a good fishing spot. Can you help? Of course. You're on a good spot, but may need more bait. And a bigger boat. Ooh, fish looks gigantic. Helpful. A scout cares about others and willingly volunteers to help without expecting payment or reward. Pee-wee Harris looks at scuba diving. At the Great Reef of Blumbadoo, boy, this scuba trip is not planning out at all. I traveled 32 light years to get to the famous reef of Blombadu, and what do I see? Absolutely nothing. Gerp, and all of these animals and fish are all around him. Oh, no. Whew. Wow. Okanagashi books and alien movies before bed are really bad mix. It was a nightmare. Poor Pee-wee. The Wacky Adventures of Scout Life. We've all trained for this. Now it's time for something really exciting. Whitewater. You've all got life jackets the right size and adjusted correctly, and helmets that fit. Remember, keep your boats under control and be able to stop if you see an area up ahead that looks dangerous. Also, remember to look out for rocks and logs or anything else in the water that could tip you over. Oh, kaboom! Why is it that the more fun something is supposed to be, the more safety precautions we have to take? Just one of those things. True story of Scouts in Action. He saved a man after a heart attack. Jonathan Furtado, 17, was on his way to work when he saw bystanders dragging a man from a vehicle on the side of the road. The man had suffered a heart attack while driving. One bystander had begun CPR as Jonathan pulled over, excited, exited his car, and ran to help. Jonathan offered to help and eventually took over the chest compressions. After a minute or so, the man began to breathe normally. Jonathan noticed that the man's distraught wife was nearby. She was in a state of panic, in danger of oncoming traffic, as she spoke on the phone with her loved ones. Jonathan helped the woman to get to a safe spot away from the road. He prayed with her and continued to comfort her until emergency workers arrived. Jonathan gave paramedics the details of the incident. They took the stricken man to a hospital, and he eventually recovered. Eagle Scout Jonathan Michael Furtado, a member of Troop 26, chartered to the Southwest Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska, received a heroism award for his action. Good job, Jonathan. More Scouts in Action. They saved their dad from a heart attack. Franklin Patel, 12, and his brother Edison, 10, were getting ready for bed at their home in Gardena, California, when their dad began to have trouble breathing. Franklin Edison quickly consulted their BSA first aid materials and deduced that their father was having a heart attack. They told their mom to call 911, then helped their dad sit down and take two aspirin. Franklin and Edison then encouraged their dad to stay calm to regulate his breathing. Paramedics arrived, and the boys kept their dog calm as the EMTs treated their father. Franklin and Edison urged their mom to call relatives to stay with them so they should go to the hospital with their dad. Mr. Patel was treated and later recovered. Tenderfoot Scout Franklin Patel Top and Scout Edison Patel, both members of Troop 211, chartered to Scout Parents Incorporated in Torrance, California, each received a Medal of Merit for his actions. He saved a toddler from drowning. Marshall Fruchon, 8, was at a pool party when he saw a 3-year-old girl enter the water without a flotation device and immediately sink beneath the surface. None of the adults noticed what happened. Marshall quickly swam to the girl, brought her to the surface, and began calling for help. Marshall swam the girl to an adult at the side of the pool. The girl was shaking and crying, but was not hurt during the incident. Wolf Scout Marshall Fruchon, a member of PAC 611, chartered to St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, received a heroism award for his actions. Stay sun safe, fitness first. Summer means plenty of sunshine. Here are the best ways to avoid sunburn, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. Stay hydrated. Drink water even before you're feeling thirsty. wear sunglasses labeled 100% ultraviolet protection or UV 400. Use water-resistant sunscreen with SPF 30 or higher. Reapply every 2 hours or after sweating or swimming. Wear a hat to protect your head and face from getting too much sun. Also, wear light colors with long sleeves and pants. Try to avoid exposure to the sun between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. when the sun's rays are strongest. United Methodist. United Methodist Scouts can learn more about their Christian faith by earning the following. Jesus Made Me. The Jesus and Me emblem is for Cub Scouts in kindergarten and first grade. This program introduces Jesus as the Son of God in familiar terms so that young children can see Jesus in their own day-to-day experiences as a storyteller, teacher, friend, and healer. God in Me. The God in Me emblem is for Cub Scouts in second and third grades. This program helps United Methodist Scouts become best friends with Jesus and tell their story of God and Me together. The God and Family emblem is for Weblo Scouts in 4th through 6th grades. This program helps youth understand the importance of family and God's role in a healthy family. God and Family provides an opportunity for youth and their families to explore their faith together. God and Church. The God and Church emblem is for Scouts of BSA members in the 6th through 8th grades. This program will lead youth on a faith journey with three parts: meeting Jesus, worshiping God, and witnessing and ministering for Christ. And finally, the God and Life emblem is for Scouts, BSA members, and Venturers in 9th through 12th grades. In this program, United Methodist Scouts with Venturers will study the lives of men and women in the Bible and discover what their lives teach them about God. Youth will then be challenged to integrate their faith into their daily lives. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.